Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
I just want to let you know if you hear any honking from my end, it won't be a truck going by. It'll be the Czar because he's a little under the weather today.
You drink too much like
Brian.
Me?
No. Actually, I haven't had anything to drink since Thursday.
Well, I'm under the weather, too, because I drank way too much last night, too much sangria and wine. And, Laurie, I don't know how I got home. You left before I did, but I made it, so anyway.
I gave up. I couldn't catch it. Yeah. See, I have my two wines on the weekend. I try to stick with just two wines, and I'm feeling good. I was wonderful. And he's sitting in Dan's chair. He's going, I think I need some help to get up. So try to get a 6'5" guy. I'm like, I think you're staying here. I'm going home to go.
Wait, you don't know how you got home? You don't know how you got home from walking from the next door neighbor to the house, to your house?
Well, I semi remember walking home, but I don't remember coming in the house. All I know is I woke up this morning in bed, so I did make it. But
and he's still speaking. Yeah. He goes. I'm like, okay, and then all of a sudden he was just out.
Oh well, so much for that. Well, we've got a good show today. We have joining us the first guest in just a few minutes. We got three guests actually. We got the leaf lovers. I think they're kind of like tree huggers, but they are more into aquaponics and that type of thing. And it's got a cool little deal they're working on Kickstarter, where they're using old storage containers to make hydroponics and solar systems and grow fish and grow lettuce and et cetera, et cetera. So they're our first ones coming up. Then we got a guy who he's a chef. I don't know where he's located because I didn't do my homework, but he's coming on. He's actually talking about Spanish food. He'll be joining us. His name is what is his name? Somebody help me here. I don't remember what the guy's name is.
you can tell he was like, "Oh, these three beers are going down great last night."
Jeffrey
and now
Weiss.
He feels
I did
sorry.
My homework. His name is Jeffrey Weiss.
Yes, he made a book called, how do you say that, Charateria? It's on our page here, but it's the soul of Spain. It's going to talk about Spanish food. And last but not least, we have Jilly Martin, who is a country music singer, and she has got a long list of people that she has opened for. She's got really great music, and we're honored to have her on the show. And anyway, that's the lineup that we've got scheduled. But in the meantime, of course, we always talk about food news or something foodie before we start bringing our guest on. So who wants to start today, Laurie or the Wine Czar?
Well, I'll let the Wine Czar start if he'd like to. I have some nice articles, but maybe he wants to start
Here's a little trivia. Here's a little trivia. Let me bring up the article. I'm not scrolling. I put all the articles up on different tabs so I can bring them up.
You're so organized.
The question, when was the first drive-through restaurant created? Now, before we answer this question, are you guys fans of going to the drive, you know, going to the drive-through and getting, you know, getting your food in the car and going, or do you get out of the car, you go in, you eat, or you get your food and then you get back in the car?
Depends upon what.
We mostly like to go in, right, my love? We like to go in most of the time. We'll sit like. Go ahead.
Yes, we do. We go inside, but if we're in a hurry, we drive through. Why, Brian?
I'm just curious. I'm not a fan of the drive-through. I just think, for me, I think I've never actually gone to a drive-through. I've always gotten out of my car, even though I took the stuff to go. And I just won't eat in my car because my car would become a mess. But I just think it's this whole lazy society. You know, we never have to get out of our cars. We never have to do anything. We just, you know, go pick up our food, eat while we drive. You know, it's banking is a convenience. I like the drive-through banking, but, you know.
I want a table. I want to sit with a table.
Yeah, I do too. I want to
sit with a table.
I want to get out of my car.
Relax.
Go into the restaurant, sit at a table, eat, and then get back on the road.
Right.
But
I like to stay in my car because I'm lazy. I like to stay in the car myself whenever I can.
No, you don't. You always say, let's go inside.
We knew that already.
No,
we knew that already.
No, you want to go inside, Laurie.
I knew that she would answer the way I would expect her to answer, and you would answer the way I would expect you to answer.
And it's true. You know what? You're right. I have to take Quillian Todd for that part because he would rather just sit in the car and eat it. But he knows I like to go inside. So you do that for me a lot of times. You'll do that for me.
What's the answer to the question? When was the first drive-through?
Well, apparently a guy named Sheldon Red, is his nickname, Cheney, ran a restaurant called Red's Giant Burger in Springfield, Missouri, and he was the first one to create a drive-through. Although they claim that, I think Jack in the Box is claiming that they were the first ones, and In-N-Out Burger, they were the first ones. But the actual very first drive-through was a bank in 1928.
Huh.
So 1947 was the very first drive-through food. And 1928 was the very first drive-through bank.
Very interesting.
Do a little
trivia. I've got a drive-through story to tell you now that you brought that up. I have inside information about Burger King, and I'll give the short version of the story. But years ago, Burger King was coming out with a pizza, and they tried pizzas in their restaurant, and they went through all kinds of studies with all kinds of recipes and came up with a pizza that everyone loved, and they ordered all the boxes and got it all ready for the market. But guess what someone forgot to do? They forgot to measure the pizza so it would fit through the drive-thru window. So when they ordered all these pizzas...
Are you serious?
That's a true story. Nothing fit, and they had to put it at an angle to get it through the window, and it wouldn't get through, and they had to crush the boxes to get it through. But no one had the foresight to measure the windows before they actually brought it to market, and it wouldn't fit through the drive-thru. So just a little side note, even big companies don't do smart things.
Now, there's a concept, eating pizza while you're driving. God, what a mess that would be.
What a mess. Yeah, the oil, I say I like my pizza real oily. So the oil's dripping, and it's all on your finger. No. And I like my car kept neat, so I don't want the crumbs either, but.
Yeah, and I've been in my wife's car this week, so God forbid I should get any food on her leather seats. I would be in deep, deep doo-doo.
And Taco Bell, forget it. You try to eat tacos while you're driving.
You can't. You can eat a sandwich. You know, I mean, you could, I don't know, it's tough to eat and chew and draw. I wouldn't want to do it, you know, unless
so,
you've got a drink or something.
The bottom line is
milkshake,
we should all go to whatever place we like to eat, park our car, get out of our car, take the few steps. Hey, you know, if you're counting, if you're exercising, you're counting steps, you can count
you
every
go.
Step. You know, mm-hmm. count the few steps, then load up on your, you know, 5 gazillion calories that you're going to get from your junk food, count the steps back to the car, and at least it won't be as bad as sitting in your car and doing nothing and just driving. And
I like that. Go to drive-thru, get a burger, and get a workout all at the same time. That's probably a good idea. Okay.
That's
Laura, do you
my
have
story.
Any food stories? We're running out of time already. I can't believe it. This is so riveting. Laura, what do you have?
You know, I'm just thinking I have a long article. It's kind of long, so I'm going to wait. I'll wait till next week. And Brian, are you going to be on next week?
I might call in from the road. We're going on vacation. A sorely needed vacation, but I might call in from the road depending on where we are. So just to say hi, but we're going up to the Cape for a week.
Yeah, you got a nice week planned.
Yeah.
So are we going to talk about vacation plans, or are we going to talk about food?
No, we're going to talk about food because you don't want to know about my vacation plans.
No, I really
That's
don't.
That's top secret. That's top
secret. I don't really care anymore.
No, I really don't. I don't care. And as you guys keep talking, I'm scrolling. This is how long this article is.
Oh, God.
I got to read
there
it next
we
week.
Go.
It was really cute.
Girl, does he have a time we can sing while she scrolls?
I don't know.
Then
we've never
talked about quinoa. How do you say that? Gosh, it's like potato, potato. How do you say quinoa?
Quinoa.
Quinoa?
All right, do it this way. Break it down this way. Keen, the word keen, K-E-E-N.
But it's a Q.
And then W-A, wa, quinoa.
Okay, quinoa. Oh, boy.
I tried to
anyway,
kill this
50.
Story 3 weeks ago, and you guys won't give it up, will you? So talk
well,
about
there's 50
quinoa,
ways to leave your
quinoa,
lover.
Quinoa,
whatever.
I didn't bring it up, she did. Okay? So don't throw me under the bus. I'm already under the weather. Don't throw me under the bus.
All right, Laurie.
Well,
what
anyway.
About quinoa, quinoa, wada, 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 what
okay.
is it? What do you want to talk about?
What a wada, wada. 50 ways to love your quinoa. And I'll just give some recipes. They're really this lady's pretty creative. But she loves this, so she's constantly trying to think of ideas. And some of them are, here we go. Quinoa keeps well in the refrigerator, so cook them up and make these salads through the week. You can make them as great lunches or some light suppers. There's a Middle Eastern one where you add quinoa with walnuts, asparagus. There's spicy quinoa salad. She adds it with broccoli, cilantro, and lime, and that one sounds really good because I love cilantro. Chickpeas with quinoa. What else does she have here? Green bean salad.
This is boring. Can someone tell me what quinoa is?
It's a grain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
a
seed, actually.
You guys, we've been
it's
doing
a
this
South
for how
American
long? We all can't talk at the same time. It is a what? A grain or a pea? Is that what you said?
It's a grain. Would you like me to read description of quinoa?
Yes.
Yes.
I think a lot
please.
Of people, are, you know, see this word and they don't understand it. And, okay, go ahead.
All right. Let's just get. All right. The name derived from a Spanish name, but it's actually South American, Central American, Ecuador, Bolivia, Colombia, Peru. It's a seed from. Well, I'm trying to just skip over. Come on.
Boy, we are really prepared. We've been gone. We've been gone so long. We forgot how to talk.
See, Brian. Now you know. Sometimes what I'm talking about.
All right, it's from the species beetroots. All right, also related to spinach and tumbleweeds. So it's the seed from those plants that you can then turn into like, you know, you have bean sprouts and alfalfa sprouts and other things. They'll grow and sprout, but here this cooks, it just kind of gets a little bit curly in nature. And you can also make flour.
Like rice.
I've noticed that they're using quinoa as alternative flour source for people that are gluten free.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm noticing that they use quinoa, but it is a fun seed, like flax seed and all these seeds now.
Yes.
That they're discovering that they're using for, or chia. Remember the chia pet? Well, chia seeds are a big thing now for health nuts.
Really?
Really? I didn't hear that. You know, it's funny, quinoa, I have to credit one of my very good friends, Jane Evans Bonacci. She was the one who turned me on to this a long time ago because, yes, she writes all about gluten-free and everything. So she was telling me about this, so I actually learned the word from her. And now I see it more and more and more.
All right. Do we have to still talk about all the different ways you can use quinoa, or can we move along?
No, move along.
Move along. Nothing to see here. All right. Well, someone was trying to call in. I hope it was our guest, and then they hung up. So they probably heard us talking about quinoa and decided not to call in. I guess. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we will hopefully be bringing on our guest. We'll be talking about leaf lovers and what they're doing. I think they're in North Carolina. Yeah, Cary, North Carolina. So hang tight. This is going to be real quick and sweet. We'll be right back.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, it is the ultimate cooking experience, and you can get you a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com and go find a dealer. Just punch in your zip code, and there'll be one near you. And speaking of Big Green Egg, Laurie, did I not make the best chicken last time at the Big Green Egg?
Oh, here we go.
Dan was like, this is unbelievable, this is unbelievable. It was so juicy and tender and just, and you should tell your little secret now with the mayonnaise.
No, I'm not going to tell anybody that secret.
Why?
I'm going to make my own brilliant sauce one of these days. Anyway, what I use is mayonnaise mixed with all kinds of herbs and spices. It's kind of like those 17 herbs and spices that Kentucky Fried Chicken, like the Colonel had? But anyway, or it was 11. No, I think it was 11. Anyway,
11.
I put in my 11 herbs and spices and mix up this unbelievable marinade that goes on the chicken, and the Big Green Egg, cranked it down to about 250 to 275 and put some smoker chips in there, and oh my God, what those chickens great. And then we also
had the asparagus.
Bacon, go ahead. Oh, the bacon wrapped asparagus. Have you had that, Brian?
Yes, I've had bacon wrapped asparagus. I've wrapped everything in bacon.
Listen to this.
No,
bacon wrapped asparagus and with barbecue sauce on top. It was amazing.
Oh, God.
And then he put it in foil and wrapped it and smoked it. it was just so good. And the bacon with the barbecue sauce, like you put it on top of the bacon and then sealed it all up in the foil and smoked it.
Let me tell you, there's a rule. There's a color rule in food. Green and red do not go together. The only time green and red go together is Christmas.
No, well, I'll tell you.
It goes on your red, white, and yellow for your lights.
Well, it was great, and I know my system is working properly this morning. My pea smelled like asparagus. So everything's working.
Brilliant.
The plumbing is working great too. Anyway, Big Green Egg. They're gonna love that part of the ad I just threw in there. Big Green Egg, go to biggreenegg.com, and you can make chicken just like brilliant and also bacon-wrapped asparagus with barbecue sauce if you would like. And on that note, we're going to be bringing on our first guest. I wonder if they can grow asparagus in their system that they're coming out with here on Kickstarter. I have to ask that question.
This
I don't know. But anyway, huh?
This is neat what these guys do.
It
I saw the video.
I'm on their website right now.
If you look at what we got coming up here, we got Leaf Lovers at www.leaflovers.com, and we've got a representative or two. I'm not sure who's calling in from the company, and they got a project going on Kickstarter right now, and it's really cool. It caught my eye. I wanted to have them on, and good morning. Welcome to the Green Ideas Radio Show. Is this Steve?
It is. Hello.
Good morning. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, it's
good morning.
Hi, you guys.
Well, we
yeah,
saw
thanks
you
for giving
on Kickstarter.
Us the opportunity.
And, oh, you're welcome. We saw you on Kickstarter, and we had to have you on because I'm into these type of things anyway. I just think it's so cool with aquaponics and growing lettuce and what have you. And when I saw how you're doing it, I thought, this is really cool. Everybody needs to hear about this and help support your idea. So I'll give the brief information like I did here on the show promo. You guys are taking old storage containers and making making them into a solar hydroponics, aquaponics type of setup. So I want to find out more about how you got into this and tell us a bit more about your project. So I'm going to turn it over to you. So how did you get started? Have you been doing this for years?
We've been doing this for 5 years, the leaf lover aspect. And my wife and I, Lori, we started it really because we started to reexamine our lives. I'm 57 now, and about 52, I just started feeling all the aches and pains from going older, right? The brain fog, the memory loss, having trouble, you know, working out and all the recovery. So we started looking at what's up in our environment, and essentially we found that it's like an issue of pollution and toxins were things that we could control. So it's easy to filter the air, filter the water, but how do you get, you know, fresh, pesticide-free, no GMO food in your diet? So you start going to more than one store, right? So now you're shopping at three stores, you're paying more money, you know, and you start to see some changes in your life because of what you're eating and what you're drinking. But because of all that cost, we wanted to start growing ourselves. So that got us going on the urban farm idea.
All right.
Right? So we're in the city, and I got a little bit of land here. So doing the research, it's like aquaponics is just a fantastic way to grow nutrient-rich food and grow it really fast. And it's like an aspect of the web of life because you're just taking fish, feeding them good quality food stock, whatever, plants, lettuce, bugs, all organic stuff, and then their water is what feeds the plants. So what a great idea. Simple enough. Let's dig a hole, throw in some goldfish, and we'll use that water then to water our outdoor garden. And surprisingly enough, the garden grows better, right, because now you've got real rich nutrients that you're constantly putting into the soil for the gardens. And that's essentially how we started doing outdoor aquaponic urban farming. Does that make sense?
So you actually just did it like in a little, started off just in a goldfish pond, but you would get it Lowe's and dig a hole and put the fish in and started using the water. You found that the water made your plants in your garden grow better. So from there, how did you go from there to shipping containers?
The climate, man. So outside, things really started to change for us here in North Carolina 4 or 5 years ago. And interesting, kind of right along the line with the climatologist saying when we reach 350 parts per million of CO2, the weather's going to start to change. So I had been listening, you know, and hearing that and going, okay, well, it'd be nice if we weren't burning so much oil, make for better air quality. But in any event, we started having really bad winters and summers. So our beautiful garden is just getting burned up, right? Just sweltering heat. Remember we came up with the heat dome or whoever. You know, we got all these new terms coming out over the last 4 years associated with climate change. And so after a couple years of our outdoor garden just, you know, being soaked or beat up with hail or fried with the heat, it's like, okay, where's the greenhouse? you know, got to move inside.
Right.
So that started the greenhouse idea. And then going deeper into aquaponics, we participated in the creation of the Aquaponic Association and started networking and learning about it. There's a lot of history to aquaponics, all the way back to the Aztecs. They were taking bamboo rafts, filling them with dirt and throwing plants on them and floating them on the water. It's kind of like the first recorded, you know, history of using aquaponics. So anyhow, we started studying it, and then the trick is with aquaponics is you can grow without dirt. So you can grow in rocks, in sand, in clay. You can grow in other mediums where the water flows through really easily and the roots grow and they are able to assess the nutrients faster, so they grow bigger faster. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
Yep. So yep. We started experimenting with these different ways to grow, and then I was limited in my space, so I'm looking at my greenhouse saying, well, you know, everything is horizontal. Why aren't I using all of this vertical space? So that got me going into the shipping containers. That combined with the climate change and all the crazy-ass tornadoes that are blowing around, all the damage that's happening, it's like, okay, what can I build that's going to be sturdy? I don't want to spend all my time building a greenhouse and the thing gets blown over, you know, the next storm that rolls through. So there's 200 million shipping containers on this planet, and they're not all being used shipping stuff from, you know, wherever, China to America, for Walmart. So anyhow, we got a little crazy about that and pulled in a shipping container into our place, and then I designed a vertical growing system that works really well for lettuces and leafy greens, some herbs. But because it's growing vertically, you can really condense it into a small area, such as a shipping container. Now I can have these vertical rows, and I need to illuminate them, which is a cost. But it becomes a really compact, secure, super clean greenhouse that has the beauty in regards to transport. So now these shipping containers can go pretty much anywhere in the world where a flatbed truck can drop them off.
So now you've got one of these. It's like the concept you've been working on now with the shipping container for how long? How long have you actually had one up and running?
What I did was build a greenhouse that's the same dimensions as the shipping container. And then I designed this vertical growing system in that greenhouse and have taken our product from, you know, germination all the way through harvest and then packaging, and we're now selling it over to Whole Foods.
Okay.
And so I wanted to go through that complete process because what we were interested in was helping others out, and that they could duplicate what we have started, because we're all in the same challenge together. So how to get a good quality food on your table and that of your neighbors. So we built this, you know, look-alike shipping container, brought in the real one, and brought it up to a point where we know how it works, we know how to get the product into the marketplace, we know where the break-even point is and how much money you can make. So let's get some financing. Let's go to Kickstarter. And so we jumped on board with that, and that's where we're at today.
All right, because I have to ask a question. So let's say I wanted to do this. Now, is it something that the average Joe can do in his backyard, or is it more of a corporate thing where it's more too – how expensive is it to actually do one? If you had to put a price tag on it, what's the cost to do it?
Yeah, so you're looking about $60,000 for a shipping container that's all ready to go. I mean, we drop it off where you want it, you plug it in, and attach a hose, and you're up and running. You know, within a couple of weeks, you're harvesting.
How many pounds do you get out of that shipping container? Let's just say you're growing lettuce. Do you have any idea how much lettuce you would actually grow and how long it takes?
Yep, it takes about 5 weeks, and you're planting 720 heads of lettuce in this one particular design. And so let's say you're harvesting out of that about 650 heads of lettuce. And then now you got a lot of lettuce, right? But lettuce, depending on your market, may go from $1 up to $3 for that head. And so that's kind of where the numbers get started as you look at, well, you know, I can generate, say, 600, 650 head of lettuce. What can I sell it for? What will my market accept? Am I going over to the farmer's market and selling it at a higher price than I'm going to Whole Foods and selling it at a wholesale lower price?
Now, are you actually selling, you say, to Whole Foods now? Your product from
We are.
Okay.
Yeah, we go to Whole Foods, and then we have just one restaurant, and that takes all of our product. And so an answer to your other question is that you can do this on a smaller scale, you know, in your basement, in your garage. You can set up a smaller greenhouse and start going, you know, growing your own stuff. But our design with the shipping container is really about fostering another business. So you can plant this somewhere and you can sell to a store. You can sell to like three or four other restaurants.
Now, and you're also raising tilapia along with this, is that right?
We are. Yeah, the tilapia is a wonderful aspect of it in that you're able to grow fish. And so with us, when we grow out the fish, then we can sell them whole. And there's different markets that'll take a whole fish.
So you're getting basically 10, if I'm doing my calculations here right, you're getting basically 10 different crops a year, as you said, about every 5 weeks. And,
right.
And you're getting like 720 heads of lettuce, so you're basically getting 3,500, to round it off, like 3,500 heads of lettuce that you can sell for roughly a buck or two a piece, depending on how you sell them, wholesale or retail.
Right.
And then, so the payback on something like this would be, depending on how much you get per hit, of course, would be...
You're 2 to 4 years.
I would say about 3 years, right, okay.
Yeah.
So you're trying to raise the money on Kickstarter. I think your goal is $15,000.
Correct.
And you're going to use the $15,000 to do what?
Well, essentially I'm going to rebuild what we've done in our look-alike greenhouse into that shipping container. So I'll have, you know, a show-and-tell prototype.
Okay. And how's it going? It didn't look this morning, but how far along are you on the Kickstarter?
We're at $6,000, and we've got 3 days to go. So,
everybody needs to crank it up with you and put them down. And what kind of prizes, or not prizes, but gifts do you have if people donate?
You know, what we really did on the reward thing was kind of go away from, look, you give us this and we'll give you a shirt or a tote bag. And what we did was offer a random act of greenness. So we have some elderly retirement centers around here that we're associated with. They love our product. And so we have a system where we're going to be giving them lettuce and giving them plants. So it's kind of like your gift goes to two people, right? It goes to us, and then it goes to some elderly that really need it.
So it's a charitable donation at that point.
It's a charitable deal. That's low. And then on the higher end, we have a microgreen set giveaway. And microgreens are really interesting. So microgreens are a plant that grows out in about 10 days. And you have different types of plants that grow real well like that, such as arugula, clover, cress, broccoli, dill, fenugreek, mustard, radish. All of those make up our microgreen mix that we add to our salad so that when we sell it, we're able to get a higher price because now we've increased the nutritional value as well as the flavor profile. So imagine buying a box of lettuce. It's not just lettuce, but it's got all of those other plants in it.
Yeah, Laurie and I just went to Walmart and bought a pack of lettuce and arugula mix.
This
spinach.
Is a byline.
Yep.
And spinach. And that's right. It was spinach and arugula. That was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mixture together.
Excellent.
Gives you a completely different taste.
Yep.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you joining us this morning on the show and telling us a little bit about the project. And if people can find out more, the best place to go is just go to his website, which is www.leaf-lovers.com. And he actually has a link there you can click on to go to the Kickstarter project. And we wish you the best of luck with your project. And everybody out there, help him out if you can. He's almost halfway there. And he said 3 more days, so get out there and help him bring this project to fruition.
You guys are the best. Thank you for the
communication,
the advertising, all that. Love it.
All right, you're welcome. Good luck to you.
All right, guys,
everybody,
take care.
Check out his website and see if you can help him out. Pretty cool idea. It's more costly than
I personally could
afford, but I can see from a business standpoint, like a place like a supermarket or all that could have actually one in their parking lot. And grow the stuff right there, and pretty cool. So now let's see here, Brian. You still with me? I lost Laurie there for a minute. You still there, Brian?
I'm here.
You didn't lose me. I hung up because of the, our alarm that always goes off at 12 o'clock here on the island. I had to close the windows. I'm thinking I have to hang up and close the windows.
Brian, can you hear that? By the way, when that's going off, can you hear that? We have a fire alarm that goes off at noon every Saturday here on the island. I guess they just test it to make sure it works. And can you hear that on the radio?
I didn't. I wondered if you heard me, like, blowing my nose and snorting and sniffling.
Is that what that noise was? Yeah, I think I did. All right,
now I can open the windows again and get that beautiful breeze that blows through here. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to take another break.
You know, what was interesting is I was going to, you didn't ask me if I wanted to ask a question, so of course I didn't, but I was going to ask him, you asked him about what the cost was, and, he's talking about growing lettuce and all this lettuce in one, shipping container. But if someone actually had the money and invested in this to sustain themselves through the year, could you plant multiple varieties of vegetables at the same time in the same container?
I think I saw it on his website on the Kickstarter. I believe you can, because it looked like they have various different types growing on the wall on the vertical system that he has. So
I'm looking at it now, because that would be cool. Is the container costs you $60,000, but then you can live off of that all year round yourself. And, all right, if you have a little too much lettuce, so you give some lettuce away to your neighbors or some whatever vegetables. I mean, when we have a bumper crop or something, you're giving away stuff, because we can't eat it all. But it'd be cool to do that kind of thing and sustain yourself all year round. Of course, that would kill the Walmart.
Or even chip in with neighbors
and
do it.
Yeah, exactly. You're right, Laurie. Chip in with the neighbors,
get
the whole neighborhood to do it.
Co-op
thing.
Yeah, create a co-op.
Who's the lucky person that has that sitting in their driveway is the question.
Well, Grill, you could do it. You get rid of the Winnebago. You have plenty of space.
That's true. Convert. Hey, we can convert the RV.
I think it's probably about the same footage.
I have to check that out. It just sits in the backyard anyway. That's a good idea, Brian. We can and we can leave the driver's seat there, and we can take it for a ride every once in a while with our lettuce in tow. But yeah, that's a good idea. All right, I'm gonna take a break, and I've got the next guest who just checked in with me to make sure he's supposed to call in. He's calling from California, and he'll be joining us in just a couple of minutes. I'm gonna take a break and play a little Moonshine Glow by Brian Mack. I've got Moonshine Glow going on right now today. I got that fog, is what I call the moonshine fog. But everyone, hang tight. We'll be right back with our next guest. We'll be talking about Spanish food.
Up where the waters flow, nice and slow. Take me back to that moonshine glow. that. See that moonshine glow. Stories told, memories lost.
Cooking for a little while, and I was one of the very fortunate few bunch of people who, 12 of us from around the world, who won this scholarship to go cook in Spain for a year. It's a really coveted scholarship, and I was one of only two Americans who got it. And so I got to go cook in Spain for a year, and one of the things I got to do in between cooking at these high-end restaurants was I went out to the countryside and I learned from these grandmas. It's a beautiful word called sabía, which it comes from the Spanish verb saber, or to know. So sabía is a word that means wise women. So these wise women out in the countryside, along with the butchers and the guys who harvest the animal, they do this stuff. They've been doing this stuff since their grandmother's grandmother's grandmother. You know, this is a family tradition that, you know, it goes back to the old times when, you know, meat was scarce, and these sabías and the matas, they would go through the countryside and harvest animals for families. They'd be hired to do it, and they'd make chorizo and all these traditional recipes for the charcuterie, the cured meats, in order for families to survive the harsh winters and whatnot.
Okay.
So I was very fortunate. I got to go in the countryside and work with these sabías and the matanzas and learn these things. And, I mean, I already had a background in charcuterie. I understood a thing or two about how to make sausage and that kind of stuff. So to see the Spanish perspective and then come back to America and realize that no one really knew a lot about this or what the recipes were because they're all verbally handed down, you know, I thought this is really something I wanted to talk about in the book and then present to an America here that is ready for this sort of thing now.
Hmm. Now, you're actually at the kitchen that you're the – it's called – what they call it, Giannini? Is that how you say it? Kitchen wine bar?
Absolutely. Giannini Kitchen and Wine Bar. We're in Pacific Grove down on the Monterey Peninsula. It's this cute little town, and we've been open for about 6-7 months, and we've already been invited to cook at the James Beard House. It's been a pretty crazy ride, but I do a lot of the recipes in the book, and a lot of things that I learned I showcase at the restaurant.
So what's some of the best sellers and the best food that the Spanish people like to eat? Other than paella.
Sure, of course. Which, by the way, we make a mean paella at the restaurant. I do it by special request only because it's a really, really unique dish. But in terms of, you know, the traditions and recipes that are very popular in Spain, of course, you know, things from the book like chorizo and morcilla, the blood sausages, that sort of thing, which are really awesome. The jamón and that sort of thing. Those are things that you'll see everywhere you go in Spain. And the reason I put this in the book is because I wanted to showcase them. But, you know, that being said, the book itself is not just a bunch of recipes about sausage and whatnot. There's a whole
right.
The first 150 pages is really something I wanted to do is honoring the tradition and talking about where does this stuff come from and why these people do this. So the book isn't just a book of recipes. It's the entire history and tradition of these things and really Spain itself and how these things all came to be, how the charcuterie of Spain kind of ties in and why it's the soul of Spain. And then the recipes, you know, I get into a lot of the sausages and that sort of thing, but I also get into what are called companion recipes where, you know, let's say you've made chorizo or you can go buy chorizo, that's fine too. You know, then there's a bunch of recipes that you can do with that. You can make chorizo con sidra or, you know, there's different things. So you don't have to necessarily make the stuff. You can buy it, and there's still a ton of recipes in there that you can try that you've probably never seen before.
Hmm. Now, if people want to buy your book or find your book, where do they find it?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's available anywhere. Pages are sold between covers. You know, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all the major sites and a lot of little bookstores, hopefully across the country at this point, should have the book.
All right. Hey, Brian, I don't want to slight you because your feelings were hurt on the last guest because I didn't let you ask any questions. Do you have any questions you want to ask the show?
Awesome. Hey, Brian.
Well, actually, I wanted to tell you, Mr. Grill,
yeah.
that if you've never tasted cured meats from Spain, you need to because you're a big bacon guy.
Yeah.
And if you never had pork products from Spain, there's nothing like it in the world, and some of them are incredibly expensive. But you need to treat yourself and taste them at one point in your life. Of course, I'm the wine guy, so we're talking Spanish food. I happen to love Spanish food, and I happen to love Spanish wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I was going to ask you is, like, well, I was also going to make a comment that, you know, obviously, like everywhere else in Europe, the food in Spain is regional, and, you know, it's driven by, you know, the wines are driven by the regional food. My curiosity is that I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, Rueda and its cuisine. What I find interesting about Rueda is their most important wine is a white wine, the Verdejo, and yet
their
cuisine is probably more driven toward, you know, things that you might have with red wine. So I'm curious to get your opinion on that.
Well, I'm not really clear, I guess, on what your question is. Is it the about the cuisine or the pairing of the wine with it?
Well, I'm curious more about the cuisine in Rueda because, you know, the wine is white. And, you know, there's a big, strong emphasis on you know, central Spain being, you know, a lot of the charcuterie, you know, the cured meats and things like that.
Sure.
So I'm just curious to know more about the cuisine in the area.
You know, Rueda itself, I'm trying to think if I revisited because we did a whole tour of Rueda, or excuse me, of Spain, and I know we did a lot of the wines and certainly the Verdejos, we visited a lot of the vineyards. But I can tell you this, the charcuterie of Spain, it's something that definitely pairs, and it's something you find everywhere, including Rueda. Like Verdejo is awesome with a good chorizo or with the jamón and that sort of thing. So I would say fail safe, what pairs really well with a lot of the wines in the area, whether it be red or white, is definitely the charcuterie, the kind of thing you find in the book.
Yeah, I mean,
Brian,
I would agree. Yeah.
I go the safe route. I just stick with the sangria. That way it's
white or red, white or red.
That works for everything. But, you know, people usually are like, oh, white wine with meats and, you know, but they're cured meats and they're salty and, you know. Yeah, they do. They do go great. But I was curious about more of the cuisine in that area and how they, you know, they pair with that most important white wine, which I happen to love.
Well, yeah, Verdejo is awesome. And I know, you know, aside from the obvious, you know, the cured meat thing and whatever, that goes really well. For me, it's Verdejo is, and white wines go really well with shellfish. The thing about Rueda is it's kind of near Castilla León, so it's kind of landlocked. It's way inside. And so they do a really awesome type of cured meat with beef out there. It's called Cecina de León. And actually, the recipe is in the book for Cecina. It's essentially a cured beef item. That, you know, the fact that it's a cured item, even though it's beef, like you say, you would think, well, beef and red wine. But because it's a cured item, you know, the white wine goes actually really well with it, especially that white wine from that area.
All right, I have a question. Yeah. It's not wine-related. Is this truly Spanish rice? Is it Spanish rice really for real, or is that just rice cerone and they're just pulling our leg? Is there a true Spanish rice?
Absolutely. There's actually a couple different varieties of rice, and believe it or not, the Spanish rice, or bomba, is some of the best rice in the world because it absorbs something like 16 times its weight. So I use a lot of the rice. When we do a morcilla, we do a type of blood sausage that actually has the rice in it. It specifically calls for that rice because of the absorption rate.
Now, is it a short grain or like a risotto, like an arborio,
it's a
long grain?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
It's a short grain. It's teardrop shaped. There we go. It's definitely a short grain rice, and it has a really high absorption rate. That, you know, it's like when I call for the morcilla de arroz, which is there's a couple recipes like that in the book. It specifically calls for that rice because of that.
Right.
Now, Laurie is a food writer and I guess a food critic. And Laurie, have you ever had Spanish food?
Oh, are you kidding? Of course. I'm from New Jersey. You don't think I never went to Newark? Absolutely. But, you know, I have to say my favorite cheese in all the world, and I've had some of the, like, greatest cheeses, Manchego. I will never pass up Manchego cheese. And you know what? To be honest with you, I love champagne. I know it's not called champagne, you know, in Spain, but cava is my favorite.
Oh, cava's awesome. I love
it's awesome.
Cava.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. If I had to take any type of, you know, sparkling wine, if it wasn't like, you know, not some French champagne, but sparkling wine, I always pick it. And you cannot beat the price.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot beat the prices.
Hey, and if you like Manchego, you got to try something called Mahon, M-A-H-O-N. It's
M-A-H-O-N. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's from Mallorca. It's from a little island off the coast of Spain. And it is just, there's three different kinds. It's absolutely killer. There's like a three-month-old that's like really creamy. And there's like a six-month-old that's made with raw milk. And it's just, it's available in this country. You can find it almost anywhere. It's really good.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for, I'll look for the 6 months.
Do they sell that at Walmart? I got it.
When I go home, I'm going to Whole Foods. I'm going to go, or go, I'll go to King's or something. I'm going to definitely get that. I love
it. Right on.
All right, so you're out there for about 7 months. You've had this restaurant going, and where's that located?
So the restaurant's in Pacific Grove. It's, we're down on the Monterey Peninsula about, oh, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half south of San Francisco. Maybe, well, depending on how, maybe that's how I drive, but maybe most people, normal people, 2 hours. and we're, you know, we're right down this little cute little town called Pacific Grove, right at the, you can't miss it. You can throw a rock across this town and it'll, you'll go from one end to the other. So we've been doing a lot of the sorts of foods of Southern Mediterranean, so Spain, Morocco, Tunisia, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, all those sorts of places. Yeah, it's a lot of flavors that you don't normally see here in America. We have a lot of really cool dishes, and, you know, I have what's called za'atar. It's a special herb, and it's, I have it grown specifically for us. I think we're the only restaurant in America that has that herb specifically grown for us. It's pretty cool.
And I didn't mention your blog, but you have a blog, which is called www.cookinginspain.wordpress.com, and there's a link here on our show. You can click and go to it. And
very
the
cool,
blog
yeah.
Itself, I guess... What do you talk about? I assume Spanish food on the blog, but
yeah.
You want to give people highlights?
Sure. Well, that blog I wrote that, I don't know if I've written that in a little while, just because it was for when I was cooking in Spain. I wrote about the experience and, like, what it was like and what I did and the things I saw. And there's definitely a whole thing in there about the charcuterie and learning that sort of thing. So you get a little peek of what the book is about. But other than charcuteria, the Sol Español, we also have the restaurant website as well where you can buy the book. It's www.jennini.com, JENNI.com.
I'm curious if I may, what was the criteria that you had to do as far as, you know, to win what you want for that experience? I mean, you know, for me,
Yeah, well, so I was very fortunate early in my career. I got to cook with a guy named Jose Andreas, who also wrote the book Forward. He's a very famous chef who, frankly, we owe a lot of the whole Papa sensation. And a lot of Spanish food in America really is owed to Jose and what he brought to this country a little while ago. But I got to cook for him, and later on I found out about the scholarship, and I really wanted to do it. And so he actually wrote a letter of recommendation, and I got in. Based on, because Jose is so important to this country. And,
oh, there you go.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Jose helped me out a little bit, and between my cooking experience and that, I was able to get in, and that was a lot of the criteria was, are you a professional cook, and where do you cook, and who have you cooked for, that sort of thing. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was an incredible experience. I cooked 6 months in Toledo with a very famous chef in Toledo, and I did 6 months down in the south in Marbella at a 2-Michelin-star restaurant. And then in between the two, I got to go learn about all these, you know, cured meat things and everything out in the countryside. It was a really incredible experience.
Sounds
wow.
Very interesting. And everybody
yeah.
Check out his book. And go ahead, Jeffrey, say the name again because I'll screw it up.
It's Charcuteria, the Soul of Spain, available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all those fun places.
Well, we thank
Wonderful.
You for joining us, and maybe someday when I'm out there, I'll come out and get some of your special paella. By the way, do you put octopus
hey,
in your
absolutely.
Paella?
Absolutely.
You put octopus
What's
in
What's that?
You put octopus in
yeah,
your paella?
We have octopus on the menu. We do a crispy octopus dish, but I don't put it in the paella because that's just not how I learned it. And frankly,
okay.
You know, I like to eat a lot of shellfish and that sort of thing. I think it makes a really good paella.
Well, we'll have to check you out on the West Coast. We appreciate you joining us on the show this morning.
Right on.
Keep us posted. Anything new comes along, you're always welcome to come back on the show.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Hope to see you out here in Pacific Grove.
All right. Take care. Everyone check out his blog. You can find out more about him on the blog and also go check out his book. And I think you said that the website for the restaurant is Giannini.com. Go check that out. We're going to take a brief break. We got our next guest coming up here shortly, Jillie Martin. She's a country music singer. She has got some great music, and she won the Boston Idol a few years back. I think it was in 2007. I have to ask her. And from there, she has just taken off, and she's opening for people like Miranda Lambert and Eric Paisley and some other folks. And so we're going to have her on next. I'm going to play one of her songs. It's called A Little Bit of Me. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Jillie Martin. Everyone, hang tight. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Honey, what's that on your face? Can't you turn it upside down? It's like you're like that all this time when your girlfriend's around. Let's go for a drink, I'll let you buy me two. I will be your shrink tonight if you want me to. Somebody needs a little comfort, somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love, and I know just a girl. So baby, call me, you're gonna need my company. I had a whole lot of her, time for a little bit of me. I know you never asked me, but I'll give you a tip. You need someone who has some fun and ain't always throwing fits. Cause if you wanna be happy, she's not what you want. That girl is a beach, the sun ain't shining on. Somebody needs a little comfort, somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love, and I know just the girl. You're gonna need my company. I had a whole lot of her, time for a little bit of me. Cause a little bit of me goes a long, long way. I bet a little bit of you is a little bit afraid. Somebody needs a little comfort, somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love, and I know just the girl. So baby, call me, you're gonna need my company. I had a whole lot of her, time for a little bit of me. Everybody, somebody needs a little comfort, somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love, and I know just the girl. You're gonna need my company. I had a whole lot of her, time for a little bit of me. You know you're gonna call me. I'll see you later, baby. Time for a little bit of me.
And we're back. That was Jillie Martin, A Little Bit of Me. And I'm having some problems with phones today. Here we go. Everybody here, Laurie, Brian, you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, Jillie's not. And someone has called in and hung up several times. I think we got a problem on the phone system on good old Blog Talk Radio. But we will chat here a little bit before, and hopefully she'll be calling in here a couple of minutes. Spain. Back to the Spain idea.
Hey, I had a comment actually about the whole Spain thing.
All right.
If I might.
Yes, you might.
You know, when you think about if you've gone to a restaurant and ordered charcuterie, you know, be it a French restaurant or Spanish restaurant or whatever, it's usually, you know, a small plate, things laid out, and you think about tapas, which is Spanish small plates, you know, you think about that whole charcuterie thing, and tapas, you know, is a lot of the charcuterie is, you know, included in the tapas.
Well, I thought tapas is not. I thought it was Spanish. It's not.
Yes, it is. But I'm saying is that you know you think about the relationship of charcuterie and how charcuterie is generally served in most restaurants. It comes back to tapas because it's basically served as tapas.
Yeah, we found out about tapas just a couple weeks ago, and it turns out that someone told me in a private message that tapas is just actually a name that says you can serve an appetizer but charge an entree price.
Well,
that's exactly what it was.
That shouldn't be, but tapas is basically a small place.
That's what they were doing. It was good.
Plate.
But, you know, I had to come home and eat a burger, but it was
we
good.
Did.
But.
We did. We came home and ate.
Anyway,
well,
I think
it's
kind
of like, going to the fondue place and, feeling hungry afterwards and spending $100 to cook your own meal,
Exactly. I never got into the whole fondue thing. My parents, I think we talked about this before, my parents used to do fondue.
Yep.
They had that fondue thing and they'd have their friends over and they would cook their meat and they were dipping things in chocolate. Is that fondue? I guess it is, right?
Yes. It's like a little dipping thing.
Anyway. All right, I think we have Julie Martin. I think our phones are working.
Yay.
Here. And we just played one of her songs called A Little Bit of Me. And let me push this button and hope that it works. And is this Julie? Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are.
This is Julie.
Hey, how are you? Now, are you calling from Nashville or Massachusetts? Or where are you?
I'm in Massachusetts today. No, where in the world is Julie? I'm in Massachusetts today. I'm actually performing in Gillette Stadium tonight.
Cool. You're doing the national anthem tonight, right?
I'm doing the national anthem tonight for the New England Revolution soccer team. Yep.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you taking time to be on our show. And you have been a busy girl, I guess, after winning the Boston Idol. I was just reading your bio, and it's so long I can't even fit it on our page here for people. But you have got some great
music. Well,
thank
you so much. I have been very busy lately. Very lucky.
Well, you've been recording demos for Randy Travis. You've been opening for Miranda Lambert, Eric Paisley, Dan Perry, Justin Moore, Loretta Lynn, Josh Turner, Eric Church. My gosh. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a very busy summer, but, those things I've just been so fortunate with all the things that have been happening in the past few years. It's just been, my pleasure.
Was it like 2007? Is that when you won Boston Idol?
It was a little bit more recent. It was a couple of years ago, and it was a really cool thing, kind of last minute. And Fox 25 had put on this contest to we had to compete live, and so it was a live on air performance with three other girls, and that was really intimidating because usually that kind of stuff you don't see. And so it was that, it was a really great experience, but, it was all around just a fun day. But from that, I've been really busy. Lots of things have been happening.
So have you always been a country girl, or did you start off in a different arena and as the music word goes, a different genre, or have you always been in country?
I've always been a country girl. I grew up listening. My grandfather loved country music. And when me and Ron sang Blue and I watched the TV special, she sang Cowboy Sweetheart and she could yodel, and I just wanted to be able to yodel. And after that, it was just always country music. So that was about, I think I was like 9 or so when that happened. And since then, I've been doing country.
Cool. Now, your music's fantastic. Now, do you have a CD that's out now or a couple CDs? I couldn't find out the information about your music. And if people want to buy your CD, how can they find them?
I have a single out on iTunes, and it's called I'm Getting There. And I'm working on some new music right now that I should have. The goal is to have an album out in August. So
in August.
We're working really hard. That little bit of me that you just heard, that is going to be on it. And I think the other couple of songs that we might listen to will also be there. So, but right now,
the single, the I'm Getting There, that's the one you also have, a video on YouTube of that also, right?
I do have a video down on YouTube, yeah. My good friends Emily Joy Ashman and Mike Robert Kelly of the Illustrated Room put that video together for me. and it had been nominated for the Limelight Music Awards in Boston. But it was just a really fun story because it just kind of came together, and I felt like it really showed the meaning behind the story of the song. So I was honored they were happy to help me put that together.
Cool. Let's play that song right now. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. You also what?
No, that's okay. It sounds great.
All right, let's play the song, I'm Getting There, and let everybody hear your music, and we'll come back and chat. By the way, while we're listening to the song, are you a foodie? Do you like food? Or do you like to barbecue or anything like
I
that?
I love food, any sort of food. This has been making me so hungry listening to you guys today.
All right, well, what we'll do is we'll play your song, I'm Getting There, and then maybe we'll come back and chat about what's Jilly's favorite food. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
But in their hearts they know how much I care. Sometimes it's hard for me to love out loud, but I'm getting there. I haven't always acted like a good friend. I never meant to let them down, I swear. I'm not always around when they need me, but I'm getting there. I'm impatient, imperfect, I have currency, but I keep going, knowing the girl I wanna be, and I know life can lead me anywhere, and I'm getting there.
And that video, if you haven't had a chance to see it, folks, go look, check it out. It's a great video. And so tell us a little back. You said that the video kind of all came together and the song came together. What is the background story about that song?
Well, I write with a man named Stan Swinarski. And one day he was like, we were just kind of talking about my life. And everything that I was saying, he was like, I think we should write that as a song. So it's probably the most honest song that I've ever written. And it just really kind of reflects on my life in so many different ways, and musically, but also personally. And the storyline was just kind of easy to make that video with it, because there wasn't anything untrue about it. It just, it was kind of what I wanted to say to people right now. So
you mean you're not perfect? You're not perfect?
No.
me either, but I'm trying to. I'm getting there.
All right.
So we're talking about food. You said you love food. You love to eat. So since you're on a food show, what is Dilly Martin's favorite food?
Well, I'm from New England, so I love seafood, any sort of seafood. And it makes it a little difficult when I'm in Nashville because it's not quite the same down there. But I guess when I'm down there, I gravitate to barbecue. But I love any sort of fresh fish. That's kind of where my favorites are, I would say.
Well, I have to ask, too.
But
like,
anything,
you go back.
I'm not picky.
So you go back and forth to Massachusetts, to Nashville, and all. Did you have, like, a bus, or how do you go back and forth?
No, it just kind of depends on, how long I'm going to be in one place or the other. Sometimes I drive, sometimes I fly. I'm very lucky and fortunate that I stay with a family when I'm in Nashville that's from Massachusetts originally, and I'm home here, so it just is, it's a great little relationship that I have with a family that kind of makes it feel like my second home. So, it just depends on if I'm going to be down there songwriting for a couple months or performing, I'll drive down. But if I'm just going down for like a week or two, then I fly. And same thing, I'm kind of home for the summer right now with performances and stuff. It just is a little bit easier to stay in one place as long as I can. But, it's fun to kind of balance. I love traveling, to be able to go back and forth. So often.
Well, it must be amazing to be in these concerts and opening for some of these big-name folks that I mentioned earlier. And what kind of experience has that been?
It's such a privilege anytime you get to open for anybody because, it's so inspiring to see them performing and just to kind of hope that you get to be on that stage someday. Every time, you learn something different. All the artists that I've opened for are usually very gracious and always have, bits of advice. When we opened for Eric Kaiser, it was at the Hard Rock in Boston. And he came in and talked for about 15 to 20 minutes before his show, and he was just talking all about songwriting and, he's saying how he thought that it was really difficult to be a female in the country industry right now, and was just kind of giving his advice on if he were, what he would be doing, because as many of the songs that he's got out for himself, he's a great writer and has a bunch of other cuts on different artists. So I always look forward to those moments where, any bits of advice I can get in passing from the artist always kind of really make the show even that much better.
Interesting. Now, these songs that you gave us to play, did you write these three songs?
Yes, I've written these three songs. I'm Getting There, wrote with Stan Swinarski, and then A Little Bit of Me that you played earlier, and then I think Kiss Somebody Tonight, the other one you have, I wrote with a man named Steve Mitchell in Nashville. And those are just kind of some fun ones to play.
Well,
let's
play the next one, Kiss Somebody Tonight. That's actually a great song. And
thank you.
I think everybody will like the lyrics of this one, too. And we'll come back and chat just a few more minutes before we let you go. So everyone, hang tight. This is Dilly Martin, and the song is called Kiss Somebody Tonight. We'll be right back.
Kiss somebody.
alcohol and talking, but I just told the guy that he's my honeybee. So sue me if I get a little tipsy. So sue me if my dress is a little too tight. But I ain't gonna leave him lonely. Yeah, I came here to kill somebody tonight. To have a good thing going, turns out I wasn't good enough for him. I really didn't wanna be single, but if I gotta be single, I'm all in. So sue me if I get a little tipsy. So sue me if my dress is a little too tight. But I ain't gonna leave him lonely. Yeah, I came here to kiss somebody.
Martin, her song Kiss Somebody Tonight. And Julie, I know that feeling when I used to go to discos back in the 70s. That was what I was shooting for. I never got anything, but that's what I was shooting for. Anyway.
I think it's just a fun going out, getting ready to go out kind of song.
There you go.
Well, it was a fun one to write.
You joining us today and sharing some of your music. And people, too, if you want to find out more about Julie, you can find her on her website, which is www.julliemartin.com. We've got a link here. All you do is click and go to her page, and you can check out her single that we played today. And they can purchase the single on iTunes. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. I'm getting theirs available on iTunes, and the other two will be available within the next month, I would say.
So it looks like you're going to have an album out in August. We appreciate you joining us, and keep us posted. And if you got any new music, CDs, or anything you want to talk about, you're always welcome to come back on our show.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. It was fun talking with you guys.
Thank
you
very much.
Thank you.
Now go eat some seafood.
Oh, absolutely. I'll see you later.
Take care. All right, bye.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we're almost out of time. We're down to the last 5 or 6 minutes, and Brian, are you still with us? I know you're hanging in there. You're under the weather, but you're still with us?
I'm here.
You got anything else
you
would like to add?
You can't get rid of
me. I know, like a bad cold. I know, can't get rid of you. Anything you want to add?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm going to be up in her neck of the woods next week. And looking forward to eating lots of seafood.
Oh, there you go. You have to check out Julie Martin, see if you can find her up there. Laurie, do you have anything you would like to add? You always say no, but do you have anything you would like to add?
No.
Come on, Laurie.
Oh, speaking of Massachusetts, you know, I have many good friends. I'll talk about Massachusetts for a second anyway. It doesn't have to do with food, but no, the food is very good there. But I have many, many friends in Massachusetts. People don't know this, but I also, for years, had my real estate license in Massachusetts.
Well, there you go.
So, yep, it's a beautiful place.
Hey,
especially in autumn.
Do you still have a real estate license?
I started the food business, you know, went into the food side of it and stopped and dropped, you know, all the fees were getting too much and I wasn't, you know, into it. So, nope, let it lapse. I don't want to do real estate anymore. I'd rather buy and sell myself.
And Laurie, this is your life.
This is your life.
We just did. All right, guys.
So
we just
what
about
did you guys
through.
Do exciting on
what?
Hiatus? That's, you know, I should ask you that.
We can't talk
we
about
can't.
That.
That's private. We can't talk about
that's
that.
That's private stuff. We don't talk about that
you
kind
you
of
didn't,
stuff.
You didn't do anything? No. You didn't do anything fun that could be made public?
Nope.
You guys are boring.
We did lots of fun things, but we can't make them public. But, you know, it's mystery. People like mysteries. You got to keep a little
people
mystery
like
in your life. Okay.
Well, I'm going to be on hiatus next week, and I am not going to tell you what I'm doing, so there.
All right, well, there you go. Well, enjoy your trip up there to wherever you're going, and enjoy the seafood. And we're going to call it quits here, and everyone have a nice weekend. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for continuing listening for almost 3 years now. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't yet, on Tuesday's night, we have John Dilley and Def Conversation show. It's always a great show about hot sauce and barbecue. And he does a great, great job. And that's been going on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So check that out. You can also hear his replays. And then, of course, our good buddy Chef Christo has his show on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. And Chef Christo did a solo act this past week that was actually a very good show. And go back and listen to the replay. His next show will be Wednesday.
Too.
And he's given out lots of cool cooking tips, and he's asking people prior to the show to send in questions. So it, that went really well. And check out his show.
I think that's a great concept.
It went really well because he. I think that's what people are looking for. They want to know information.
Too.
Exactly. He's talented, and he shares some of his secrets right there on the radio show. And then, of course, next Saturday we will be back. And I have no clue who's on the show. We'll be back on the with more foodie people and musical people and what have you. So thank you for joining us, everyone. Brian, enjoy your vacation. We'll miss you. Laurie,
I just wanted to say one thing. If you saw my post when I shared your link to the show today, I made some jokes, but I also mentioned the fact that we're the best damn trio on radio, and we are.
Yes, we are. Yes, the best foodie trio.
I didn't go there yet. I have to go to Facebook today.
So
check it out.
It's always a pleasure being with the two of you.
Well, thank you.
Ditto.
Same here. Ditto, ditto. And I usually don't say nice things about you, but you can pay me later. And on that note, we're going to go, and I'm going to play Jimmy Charles. And matter of fact, this is so perfect. You're my favorite place to be. What a great song just after that little awe moment we had. So everyone have a nice weekend. We will see you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.
There's a place I go, only I know the lay of the land. It's the most beautiful place on earth, from the rolling hills to the winding curves. Nothing else compares, nothing else comes first, and it's warm inside. And in the middle of the night, it brings me home and sets me free. You're my favorite place to be. I can feel it when it's close, when I'm not there. This ain't no honky-tonk, girl, no smoky bar, but a little piece of heaven, where the sun always shines. My reason for living, and it's mine, oh mine. So I bought a one-way ticket. Place to be.